Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this lovely letter of Philippians that we can look at over these past few weeks and in the next few weeks according to your will. But we thank you for all your word, and we thank you that we're so blessed to have your word in our language, to have it so freely available in our country. Even as we celebrate what we call Australia Day, we thank you for, especially as Christians, the freedom we have to meet and to have your word. But help us, Lord, not to become illiterate people of your word. Help us to be those who love your word and really take it into our hearts and to know it well and to live by it. And we thank you for the glory and the wonder of your word, that it's not like any other word. It is powerful and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is everything. Not only does it tell us about you and how we can be saved, but, Lord, it tells us how we are to live once we are right with you. So help us all in our year ahead that, Lord, you'd help us to be those who love to read your word each day and to grow. But please especially now bless your word to us as we look at this passage, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I imagine in your life there's been many times, hopefully, where you've had a beautiful night, perhaps away from the city lights, and it's a dark night, no moon shining, and you've had a look above and you've seen the heavens above. How many times have you done that, eh? I love doing that. And I was just realising last year when Colin and I went out the Great Central Road out to some Aboriginal communities, and then we ended up going down through South Australia, that we came to a place called Cooper Pedy. Anyone been there? Wow, it's an amazing place. It's like barren as. It's like real desert. I don't think I ever saw a tree around that place. But when we got there, Colin and I, that very night, we had a special night. It was like one of those fantastic nights. The weather had been no wind, so very still. And because most people in that town live underground because of the extreme weather conditions, there's very little street light. And so it was pretty dark. There was no moon. It was just perfect, no clouds. And the heavens just shone like anything. Like it'd be one of the best times that I've seen the starry host. And it was just lovely to look at it. I even got up in the early hours of the morning and got up and even saw it again. And it's just so nice to see the stars. But when I think about that picture, do you know that we are meant to be like those stars? We're meant to be lights in the darkness, shining the light of Christ. And you see this as a strong thing in the scriptures. You see it when Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, "You are the light of the world." That's what he says. You are the light of the world. And then verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So we're meant to be lights in the world. And of course, let's be quick to remind ourselves that we have no light of our own. We are to shine the light of Christ who lives within. John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light. But when we have him in our life, then we can shine like lights in a dark world. You know, probably a better illustration than the starry host up there would be the moon. I've used this illustration before, but it's a helpful illustration. The moon is like a big ball of dirt. It's got no light of its own, but it reflects the light of the sun. You see the parallel with us. We are little balls of dirt. We got no light of our own, but we are to reflect the light of the Son of God, the Son of God's light to a dark world. So as we continue in Philippians this morning, did you pick up why I'm talking about light in the darkness? Because in our passage, I know 12 and 13 will be a key passage we'll look at, but also in verse 15 it says, "Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." So not only is it in Matthew 5 where Jesus taught us about being a light in the world, but we have it here as well. And this morning, as we look at this section in Philippians from verse 12 of chapter 2 to verse 30, I want us to see what does it mean to be a light in the world, to be a light shining in the darkness. And the three things that we're going to consider are these things that are all part of being a light in the world: working out our salvation, working on our shine, and working for the Saviour. They're the things we need to work on if we are ever going to be a good light in this world. All right, so let's begin with that first one, working out our salvation. So let's read Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13 again. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, there's a great passage right there. The first thing I want us to see is in end of verse 12, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I just want to spend a little bit of time on this, noting something very important. It doesn't say work for your salvation. How do you feel about that? You don't have to work for salvation. Is that true? Absolutely. Amen. We don't have to work for our salvation. That is to say, to earn our salvation. And why is that? Because our salvation has been given as a gift. It has been freely given to us when we turn from ourselves and turn to Christ. It's given freely. But let us remember that we are able to receive this gift freely because someone has earned it for us. He earned it for us. Jesus did. He earned it by taking our place and dying in our place on the cross, bearing the punishment of our sins so that we could be justly forgiven by a holy God. Through what he's done for us, because of what he's done, we can receive the gift of salvation. Praise God. And I think Ephesians 2 is often quoted when we talk about these things. Ephesians 2, another great memory verse, or two verses there, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast." We don't earn it. It's given to us as a free gift. So what does it mean here then when it says not work for your salvation, but work out your salvation? And it's not too complicated. When you think about what Jesus has done for us, he's worked for our salvation. What does that mean? He's worked so that we might be freed of the guilt of our sin. And what we need to do is in our life as we live here on this earth, we are to work out what Christ has accomplished for us. There's two ways to view sin. That one aspect Jesus has done already instantly, that is to do with the guilt of sin. Our guilt has been removed. Praise the Lord. The blood Christ shed, his death for us, has caused our guilt to be removed. But there's something we need to work on. What are we going to work out? Being set free from the, not the guilt, the power of sin. You're sinners like me, aren't you? And we know about this. We know about the power of sin in our life. We say, hallelujah, that we've been forgiven of all our sins, but we struggle with the power of sin in our life. And that is something that we are to work out. We're to work this out. Praise God, we are forgiven. But now with the power of the Spirit, we're meant to be working out our salvation, being freed from sins, besetting sins, sinful habits, sinful desires, sinful patterns of life. We're meant to be working that out. You get it? So many Christians just don't get into this. We sort of just sit back. We're so thankful. We come to church. We worship God for our salvation. And there's no working it out. We just sit back waiting to go to heaven. What are we doing? We're not going to ever shine for Christ unless we take it on seriously and we start to work it out. All of us, including me, we have got sins that we need to work on in getting rid of to work out our salvation. That's the reality. And you know, when I think of this working out, we use that phrase for going to the gym, doing a workout. Not that I go to a gym, but anyway, unless I go with Amy, 27K hike a few months ago, I don't know what I'm doing, but anyway, what a workout. But you know, workouts are normally every now and then. For me, it's every now and then. For some of you, it might be twice a week. But when it comes to working out, what we're talking about today, it's every day. Every day we need to be working out. Every day. Why is that? Because I live in a world that's trying to put out the light of Christ. I live in a world where I have a sinful nature still that is trying to bring me down. And I need to work it out every day, this working out my salvation. You need to be working out your salvation too. Do you understand it? So in other words, if we're not working it out, we're just going to get duller and duller. We're just going to get, you know, just less and less. We need to be working out our salvation. And why should we be working out our salvation? It's not here in the text, but it was in the previous few verses back. One of the first things that I would say to you is we ought to be working at our salvation because of what Christ has done for us. It's not too good, is it? When we think of what Christ has done for us, to think that we're just slackers doing nothing. Well, that's just bad. Remember what we read in Philippians 2, 6 to 8 about Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I just read those words and I feel I just have done no justice to how I read those words. What incredibly deep words they are. I cannot plumb the depths of it. That the great co-creator, the great King of Kings, came into our world and humbled himself and emptied himself to die for me, to bear my sin and your sin, to save us. This is incredible, beyond comprehension. Just in the light of that, we ought to be working out our salvation. We ought to be rejoicing in how we've been forgiven, the guilt of sin has been removed, and we should be trying our best to shine the light by being freed from the sins that cripple us. Sin cripples you, you know. Not only does it dull your life, but it cripples you too so that you can't serve Christ. But have a look also in Philippians 2 verse 12. It says, work out your salvation at the end there with fear and trembling. What about those words? Fear and trembling? Why not with rejoicing? Why fear and trembling? Well, I believe God put those words into Paul's life because he wants us to understand that this working out is serious. It's not to be a casual thing. We're meant to be doing it with seriousness and reverence. And why is that? Because not only have we been forgiven of our sins, but this has enabled us to come into the presence of God. We've come into personal relationship with God, with the Holy God. And it's not a good thing that we should just be intolerant, or tolerant, I mean, of sin, and just do whatever we want. We're meant to be working out our salvation because of who we have been connected to, God the Father. We need to be serious about living this out. But there's another reason why we should be working out our salvation, and that's because God's at work in us. It's not all up to us, and that's in the next verse, verse 13. Let me read 12, end of 12 into 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for or because it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That should excite us. God's at work in us. So we ought to be working. If he's working in us and I'm not working, what is going on? God is at work in us. Praise his name. Look at how he works in us. It says he works in us both to will and to act or work for his good pleasure. I love to see those words. You know why? Because it tells me that God's at work in me to help me be willing. He moves my will so that I might take on serious this working out my salvation. In fact, when I'm not doing it, I get bugged by the Holy Spirit because he's helping me to be willing to do this. And he gives me the power, the strength to do this. I don't have to do this all on my own. He's working in us. Isn't that great? Here's another fantastic promise. Goes back to Philippians 1:6. Remember that one? For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And here in Philippians 2:13, we see specifically a part of that great work of God in helping us to work out our salvation, to be set free from the sins that cripple us, that put out the light of Christ. Praise God that He's at work in us. I am so glad that the Christian life is not all up to me. Have you got that? But it's up to us working with God. It's a partnership. Our salvation was all of God's doing. Our sanctification, we call it, is where we work together with God. So may we work out our salvation. May we know great victories in our life, being set free from besetting sins, from sinful thoughts and habits in our life, working out our salvation. Not now working on the guilt that's done in Christ, but working out power over sin so that we might be set free to shine Jesus and to glorify God. Right, we're going to now look at the next part, verses 14 to 16. And this makes me think of Trooper Petey again. Why is that coming in my head? Well, Cooper Petey, barren land, forgetting now about the beautiful night sky. It's just like a desert out there. Who could survive out there? But you know, underneath that barren, dry dirt is the Australian opal field. There are gems underground. You know that? So it doesn't look much to the eye when you look at the surface. But you start digging down, like my wife wanted to do when we were there. You know, looking for opals. Wow, there's opals there. But you know, when you find an opal, it's not normally in a good condition. Normally pretty yuck, you know. It needs a bit of a clean and a polish. It needs a cut and a buff before it starts to shine. And that got me thinking, that's exactly like how we are. We need to work on our shine. What do you think of that? Not only working at our salvation, but working on our shine. We are dirty opals. What's the other expression we use? Rough diamonds. I hope you're not thinking of anybody. Just think about yourself. And we need to shine ourselves up. I know God's going to be in the work, but we're meant to be a part of that work too. And I'm not thinking so much here of just sin in itself, but I'm thinking of character. We need to produce a shiny character. We need to shine ourselves up. And I get that from Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Let me read verses 14 to 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh no, why is that there? See that? This is character. Shine up. Come on, shine yourselves up. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Another great passage. And so, yes, friends, we need to shine ourselves up. We have got character flaws. Never, ever just think, well, God loves me for who I am, and how I am is just how I am. Don't believe that lie. You need to have your character worked on. You need to work on your character. We're not meant to be going on like we used to. We're not meant to be a people who are grumbling and complaining. I've been reading through the Exodus account. Oh, what patience by God. Those people just grumbled and complained all the time. God is really, really, really patient. And I think He is with us too. Stop your grumbling and complaining. And disputing and arguing. Oh, back to Israel. Gee whiz, they're always disputing and arguing. They don't want Moses to be the leader. They want to pick another leader. They don't want to go to the promised land. They want to go back to Egypt. Man alive, what is wrong with them? We can be the same. Disputing, arguing. What hopeless characters we can have. Well, we need to work on these characters. We have the wonder of the Holy Spirit who is at work in us, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we're meant to be producing in ourselves the character of Christ. And when we do that, then we're going to start shining. We're going to be a light in the world. So don't grumble and complain. Don't dispute and argue with each other. Be blameless and innocent, above reproach. What glory this is. And I want to just emphasize how in verse 15, we are being like this though we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Just think of how these words reflect to us how God sees our world, even our own society. It is crooked. It is twisted. It is perverted. It is darkness. We live in a spiritually dark world. Even our own society is spiritually dark. And that darkness will try and put out our light. That darkness in our world encourages bad character. It's all about me. You know, all this sort of stuff. And you need to allow the work of the Spirit in your life. And you need to shine yourselves up that you might shine the light of Christ. Sometimes you need someone else to help you there. In married life, pretty much a place where this happens. You see yourself like no other time. You start seeing how there's certain buttons that are pressed and you behave a certain way. Thanks, Colleen, for your help there. But you know, that's how it is. And we need to see ourselves as we are and learn to shine Christ in our character. You know, the other thing I was thinking of is cars. We drive our cars around. What happens as you drive around? They get dirty. They get dusty. Insects hit the windscreen and they need a clean. And they need a polish. And as I travel in this world, it's the same thing that's happening. I'm hitting stuff and getting dirty and dusty and I need to be cleaned by the blood of Jesus and I need to polish myself that I might be like Christ and shine his character. Do you clean your car? Hopefully you do sometimes. Well, you need to be cleaning yourself and polishing yourself up that you might shine Jesus. But there's a very important verse that follows in all this, verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, holding fast the word of life, that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. And I love the emphasis of the Bible here. The word of life is the Bible. It's called the word of life, not the word of hope, the word of life, because the Bible has been given to help us in life. It's everything we need for life and godliness. I know it also declares the glory of God, praise his name, and our salvation, how we can be saved. But it also has such great amounts in regard to how we are to live. And you can't shine Christ, you can't polish yourself up unless you have the word of God in your hand. Why is that? Because the word of God in James chapter 1 is like a mirror. A mirror. The word of God is pretty dangerous here. As you read it, it's going to show you up. You're going to see yourself as you really are. And doesn't mean that's when you run and hide. No, you humble yourself, go, oh Lord, I need to work on this. Thanks for showing me. And then we need the word of God. We need to read it and allow it to reflect to us how we really are so that we might polish ourselves up and shine the character of Christ. Reading from Psalm 19, it says, verses 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The psalmist saw God's word as really good in helping us to see and understand, to see ourselves as we are. Later on in that psalm, he talks about hidden faults being taken out and all sorts of things and how we need to read God's word like that. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And even though the word of God isn't mentioned there, how do you have your mind transformed? The Word of God. It's the Word of God that blows out the dust and allows us to think right and to shine Christ. So work out your salvation and work on your shine. What do you reckon? You like those images? You know, get out the chamois. We need it. But also, to finish this morning, I love how the way Philippians is written, in verses 17 to 30, I'll just pick out certain sections of this. I love how we have some wonderful examples of people who have shone for Christ. They have been true lights in the world. And I love how they are great workers for the Saviour. Those who work for the Saviour shine Him most. Working for the Saviour. And I don't mean being in full-time ministry. Actually, we're all called a full-time ministry. We're ambassadors for Christ, whether you're paid or not. And we're meant to be working for the Saviour. And those who work for the Saviour most shine Jesus the most. We have three people I'm just going to briefly look at. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. Let's read verses 17 and 18 of Philippians 2. But even if, Paul says, I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. I just want to pick up that, look at Paul here. There's so much we could say about Paul, but just in those verses, I see how he is so dedicated to enriching and encouraging Christians, even to the point of death. That's working for the Saviour. Working for the Saviour means working for His people. Not only preaching the gospel to the lost, but doing everything you can for each other. See that there. He sees his life as a life of sacrifice and service for you, for the Lord's people. That's working for the Saviour. Those who have that attitude, they shine Jesus brightly. That's because Jesus loves a soul like that, and He will fill them with His Spirit. What about Timothy? What do we know about Timothy? Let's read verses 19 to 22 of Philippians 2. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of His proven worth, that He served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Wow, what words of commendation. What a bright light Timothy was, young Timothy. Why is that? Because he had the same heart as Paul. He was kindred spirit. He lived for Christ. And that meant living for God's people. He wasn't selfish. It wasn't like, how good am I? No, he was selfless. Timothy lived out Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Wow. That's living for the Saviour, working for the Saviour. And we know Timothy is commended as a wonderful servant of Jesus. He shone Jesus. And let's now look at Epaphroditus. He was from Philippi. Read verse 25 with me. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and ministry to my need. And then over to verses 29 and 30. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. He worked for Christ. He was a worker for Christ. And Epaphroditus is mentioned because he's such a wonderful example of a light shining in the darkness, a light in the world, a man who was a fellow worker with Paul and Timothy and others. They worked together. They worked for Jesus. They worked for Jesus' people. And what lights they were. May we be a light in the darkness too. Three things we've considered this morning. Work out your salvation. Work on your shine. Work for the Saviour. If you don't do these things, you will not shine. There will be no light coming from you. And how we need to shine Christ. Why is it so good to shine Christ? If we would shine Christ, we make Him attractive to others. People are drawn to light when they're seeking. And also, I think of a lighthouse. When we shine, we're doing the lighthouse thing. We're helping people to avoid the dangers and to come to safety in Christ. Going back to the moon. What type of moon are you? Are you no moon? Hidden from sight? It's good when you want to look at the stars at night, not good in the Christian life. Are you no moon, hidden from sight? Jesus speaks about that, hiding your light. Are you the blood moon? In the northern hemisphere last Sunday, they had the blood moon. The blood moon is covered by the earth. Are you covered by this world so that the light of Christ cannot be seen? Or are you a half moon, half reflecting the light of Christ and half being put out by the world? What do you reckon we should be? The full moon. The full moon. You know, the full moon is wonderful to see. The full moon. The full moon is perfectly lined up with the sun to reflect to the dark earth. It's the light of the sun. And we need to line ourselves up with Jesus and be doing his will. Notice the whole thing of the moon is a pretty good illustration when you think of it. The moon is separate from the world. We have been caught out of the world. Jesus is not here on this earth anymore, but we can shine the Son of God in heaven by shining his light into this world. That's what we're meant to be doing. Every Christian, a light in the darkness. And so many of us, our light is barely visible. We are like a blood moon or a no moon. We need to learn how to line ourselves up with Jesus and allow him to shine and reflect through me and through you to a lost and dark world. Be a light. A light in the darkness. Now, Father, thank you for how we are to be your lights. And that's such an amazing thing that you want us to be your lights in this world. We thank you that, of course, that's not to take away from Jesus being the light, the glorious light, the bright light, the light of heaven and earth. And we thank you that he came into our world and shone. And we thank you that now in glory he is with you. We thank you that our role is to still shine him in this dark world. Help us to understand these things. Help us to be knowing what it means to change from one degree of glory to another as we behold him day by day. Help us not to be being put out, our light being put out by this world and by our own sinful nature. Lord, help us all to work out our salvation, to work on our shine, and to work for Jesus so that we might indeed shine your light bright. These are the days that really matter, Lord. Oh, we celebrate Australia Day this weekend and our world, our society has gone so far away from you. Our darkness has increased. So we pray for us, your people, that you would help us to shine even brighter. Lord, help us, we pray, in the days we live, that we have the joy of seeing many drawn to the light and the Christian church shining brightly for your Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.